Musically meditated. Welcome to episode 10. We're in double digits right now. Musically meditated. What's up? How is everybody doing? Sretton's in the house. We're at our new recording location. Sretton, where's that at again?
It's a few doors down from the bookstore. We're calling it Studio C at the Green Door.
Yeah, Studio C. Green Door.
Once Studios. We get approval, the door here will also be green.
It will be green. We're going to paint that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Paint it green. There's newspapers in the window right now. We're not starting a small revolutionary, we hate the government spot. It kind of looks like that right now.
Yeah, we like it. I like America.
I like America too. Here we are. We're at the Green Door Studio. And we're drinking a couple beers tonight. And they're actually sponsoring us. It's Great Lakes from Cleveland. We're drinking the Christmas Ale. And then we have Belhaven Scottish Ale. All the way from Scotland.
It's really good.
It is good.
The Scottish Ale?
Yeah.
That's what I'm drinking.
Yeah, the Scottish Ale, Belhaven.
It has a rich, nutty, smooth taste.
Yeah, if you like Newcastle, you just want to roll in the blanket of Belhaven. So
it's like perfectly smoky.
Is it smoky?
Yeah.
It's like, this is what I drink when I'm not eating meat. You know, it has that.
I don't like smoky beers. This shit's good.
It is good. It's a little expensive, so you owe me.
I'll savor.
You'll savor?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, welcome to number 10. We're in double digits here. And first off, this week or last week, well, I know it was last week, we had Justin Wallace from Handsome Prick on here. He's helped me out a lot. He put it out there on Facebook, and I've received a lot of, you know, positive feedback, and I really appreciate all of my friends and family and random listeners for the positive feedback. Like I said last week, too, I couldn't have done this without you, Sretton, so thank you for your awesome production and the opportunity.
Thanks for the content. I didn't tell you. I got friends from Florida listening. I got a buddy from Cali listening. Yeah.
Oh, we're all around the world.
We're all around the world. I got my brother in Europe spreading the word.
Is he?
Yeah.
Well, damn.
I got mad at him today.
Hopefully next week I can story top you.
Yeah.
I don't know. If I got my cousin in Ireland.
Nah, my brother's like
Johnny Riley.
My brother's one day in Johnny Riley.
Johnny O'Reilly. Down in County Cavan, but no, I don't know. I probably have some cousins out there. But
you know, there's a Green Door, I think, in Ireland. It's a really small bookstore, just like here. It's one of my dreams. I think it would be fantastic. And let me talk shit for a second. It would be amazing if we actually took a trip out there and knocked out a couple episodes in Ireland, in Green Door, in Ireland.
I wasn't joking. This was a revolutionary spot. That's why we got newspapers in the window. No car bombs. No Irish car bombs.
No.
Not the drink.
It's a great shot. Terrible name.
It is. But all bullshit aside, I'm happy to be here for double digits. Here we go. Musically meditated. Like I said, Justin Wallace has helped me out a lot, so I want to give him a shout out from Handsome Prick. Before I go into my reviews, I want to go over how to listen to the songs that I'm talking about or the artists I'm talking about. The best way right now to do that is on YouTube. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, which is Musically Meditated. You could check it out that way, and you'll be able to go to the past episodes and check out everything I referred.
You know? I like how you did that. Joe created playlists for each episode. So an episode one playlist, episode two playlist. So every single thing. It's actually kind of awesome.
Also, today I just found out we are on iTunes. So Sretton, could you break that down for everybody?
If you have an iPhone or an Android phone, whatever podcasting application you use, look up Green Door Network. Musically Meditated is under the umbrella of the Green Door Network. Musically Meditated is the Monday show. So it's coming out every Monday morning. It's easier if you have an iPhone. You just go to the iPhone podcasting, the general app, type in Green Door Network, and you'll have all the shows there. Jill's show is one of those shows. It is the first show of every week. If you have an Android phone, there's like a ton of them because we're on the Google. It's on the Google Play Music network or application or whatever they call it. And then any other resulting podcast application will just pull it off of that.
Okay.
So it's silly to list it. We're working on getting on Stitchers. We just filled out the application to get on TuneIn. So we'll be on all of them. You can be able to listen to everything.
Back to the Green Door.
We're calling it Green Door Network.
Green Door.
That's the name.
Okay. That's the best way to put
it. It's just easier.
Yeah.
Originally we did greendoorbooksandstudio.com. It was like a whole thing, especially and you attach like @gmail. Right. It's just too long. So Green Door Network is not much shorter, but it's shorter.
Okay.
So we just went with that.
Yeah, on Green Door Network. So every week, Musically Meditated will be out every Monday.
Every Monday morning.
And then when is Pricks for Flicks out?
Thursday. Thursday
morning. Thursday.
Yeah.
When is John G's?
Wednesday morning.
Wednesday morning. Yeah. Okay. And then the two podcasts that you have.
The Road Best Traveled is Friday morning.
Okay.
And then the Would You Rather podcast is Tuesday morning.
Perfect.
Those are the first five that we're launching, but we're going from five and we'll quickly have 10. And then once we get to 10, it's just going to keep going. The goal, at least to begin, is to have two shows for every day of the week.
That's what I'm talking about. See, the Green Door Studio is a really organic spot for podcasting, and I really appreciate the opportunity, like I've told you a million times, but everyone else that's here, they're kicking ass. Like, John G, and what's his homie's name?
Brad.
Brad, like, if you're into fantasy football, that's the place to check it out. So, you know, the NFL season's coming to an end now, but you can go back and check out all the other episodes.
Yeah.
Great voice, great commentary, and great statistics, and I love it.
And a great respect for the Cleveland Browns.
Hey, man, I love the Cleveland Browns. I hope they win a game. I hope they beat the Bears. That's what I hope.
I think both the guys picked the Browns, even though John G's a huge Bears fan.
And then Pricks for Flicks, that's Vince and Chris. They're both my homies. That's a really good podcast, so everybody tune into that ASAP. I mean, Sretton, you're recording everything, but everyone, please check them out. I mean, that's what's really cool about the Green Door Studios is you have these different avenues or different lanes for different content.
Yeah.
And everyone that's talking about that particular content is the best at what they do. That's my opinion. So it's a great thing to subscribe to on iTunes and eventually Stitcher or whatever. We're kicking ass, you know, and like I said, it's organically happened. So I'm really happy with
it's been really cool
the content, and I'm really happy with the production on your side, and I'm really just happy how it's all coming out now.
Yeah.
It's just all coming out. But yeah, Pricks for Flicks, those are my homies, man. Check that out. They're really, really, really good. And John G. And what's his other buddy? What's his name again?
Brad.
Brad. He always gives me shit because I'm a Browns fan, but
he's a Dolphins fan.
He's a Dolphins fan. I got a Dolphins buddy, too. Doug Myers, I hate you. Mitch Myers, I hate you. He goes by a couple different aliases, but please check out the Green Door. We're all doing really great things here.
This shit's so fucking fun. I can't stand it. Last night I was here till 1 in the morning, and then I got up at 5 to go to my regular day job.
Really?
And what kept me going was like, holy shit, like we're finally on iTunes. Holy shit, like I'm reaching out to other people
right. That
are really, really interested in the content we're creating. It's so, I keep swearing, but it's so fucking exciting.
Right, right. I mean, all the quality things happen organically, and this is how this has happened, in my opinion, since I stepped foot, you know, into the Green Door. Ever since I've stepped in to your guys' establishment, like,
yeah.
I really appreciate all the support, all the opportunities. It's a really cool thing. So anybody else out there that's looking to do this, Sretton's here, and we have, or I should say, he has his own studio, and come here. And if the content and the idea is a good idea, he'll record you. But bring them stacks. Some stacks and them racks. Some money. We need some money out here.
We need some money.
We ain't gonna lie. We need some cash. We need some cash
straight
flow.
Cash,
straight cash. This is a cash hustle. All right. Enough of the bullshit.
Thanks, Jeff.
I'm really happy to be here. But I'm gonna get into a couple reviews. I know not last episode. I was talking about, hey, let's not push the end of the year until it's over as far as talking about music, you know.
Like, I like that.
You know, hey, the year isn't over yet, so let's just pump our brakes a little bit on your top 10 or my top 10. We brought Wallace in last week, and his top 10 was important, but there's two albums. There's one that just came out, and I wanted to talk about it last week, but there's another one that came out the first quarter of the year, and I was putting it in my back pocket like a stash, you know? Like a stash. Like, I have to pull this out, and then I'm going to throw it at you. It's my favorite hip-hop album of the year, and it's by Tyler, the Creator. What do you know about Tyler, the Creator, Sret?
You refer to him as just Tyler, and
I know him.
Like a big nerd. When you say, Joe, when you say Tyler, do you mean Tyler, the Creator?
Tyler, the Creator.
You said, yeah, thinking that I knew who you were talking about. And I'm really happy you didn't have a follow-up question, because that's all I know about him.
That's all you know is his name?
I know he's a hip-hop artist.
That's good.
I don't know any of his songs.
Well, you know, this year there's a lot of love for Kendrick. Like, I looked at Pitchfork's top 25 today, or maybe top, I think maybe it was top 50. Kendrick's just killing shit, and a lot of people like Kendrick's new album. I like Kendrick's new album, too. And I've been listening to Kendrick and Tyler, the Creator, since 2011. And Kendrick has come with more quality just jams throughout the year and better albums and better concepts and whatnot. But Tyler, this year with Flower Boy, Tyler, the Creator, Flower Boy, that's the album I'm talking about. It's better. It's better than Kendrick, damn. People might not agree, and a lot of people love Kendrick and his commercial avenues that he's created for himself, but I feel as if Tyler's really coming into his own, being an actual artist with this album. His first album, Goblin, really got my attention. Like I said, I think it was 2010, 2011, and he came out with this video, and he's just sitting on a stool. He's just spitting over a slow beat, and then he eats a cockroach, and he throws up. I'm like, that's a really cool impression. You know? I mean, he's a character. He's very colorful.
Yeah.
He's almost like a comic book character, a cartoon character. He's very, very colorful. He has started his own clothing line. He's done a lot of really, really cool organic things like I was talking about earlier with, but he has his own clothing line, has his own record company. It's all Odd Future. And then he has this list of dudes underneath him that are really, really just progressive and moving forward. And I think it was my first episode that I talked about, like Brockhampton, and I made a reference to Odd Future, and like Brockhampton is like the new Odd Future. So it's cool to see Tyler and Odd Future and all of his characters underneath and all of his artists really paving a way for this kind of like colorful, abstract, hipstery, alternative hip hop vibe, you know? And I really, really like it. And with this album in particular, Flower Boy, he's really just being vulnerable and putting it out there for everyone. Because he was kind of like the slapstick, like I said, cartoon kind of character, like saying something really crazy to get your attention, you know, eating a cockroach and throwing up on a video. You know, that's a good way to get anyone's attention. But with this, he's getting a lot more mature. I really appreciate what he has to do.
Did you say you thought that was the best hip-hop album of the year?
Yeah, I'm going to put that out there. It's my favorite. If you go back to episode 4, when I interviewed Kyle Norris, we talked about an artist named John Wayne, Rap Album 2. I really, really like that. I've probably listened to that album the most than any other hip-hop album this year. But knowing Tyler, like I feel like I know him. This album's the best, and I really like how he is able to have the confidence to sing his own choruses with R&B singers. I like the fact that he's able to produce all of his own tracks because he's been doing that since the beginning. And I like the vulnerability of his vocals on this. Like, he's just really comfortable with himself. And we're big fans of The Tiny Desk, and he just came out with a Tiny Desk edition of this album, you know, 3 tracks. It's amazing. Everyone should check it out. Like,
I gotta check that out.
And then you could tell like his personality. Like, he's just a goofy dude, you know? And that's what I like about him. That's what I like about him. Like, you could tell he doesn't really take anything seriously, but on a business standpoint, I don't know, it's just very organic. Like, everything about Tyler is really organic and really cool, and it doesn't seem fake. It just seems really original, you know, to me. And nothing against Kendrick, but Kendrick's a little bit put up on a pedestal, and I think Kendrick has a mad flow. But Tyler is being himself on this particular album. It really hits hard for me. Like I said, he's singing his own choruses, and the production, there's a lot of a piano, like ballady kind of things on this. With the choruses and the hooks, it sinks you in. And then when he decides to rap over this shit, like, he's really, really good. He's always, I remember I showed my friend Tyler, the Creator, when I first heard of him, and he's like, "Sounds like Method Man," you know, like one of my Wu-Tang buddies. I'm like, yeah, you know, like he has a Method Man kind of approach to it, but his vocabulary is always very articulate, and he's a very, very good rapper. And I'm really into this. I'm really into this album.
Sounds like Method Man, like that's a bad thing.
No, I'm sorry.
I love Method Man.
No, I love him. Yeah, Method.
No, not you, your friend.
Oh, no. He's just that, you know, this particular friend's that dude, you know, like, we've been listening to hip hop together since we were
right.
little kids. Like, "Sounds like Meth." Like, yeah. And then he said the same thing. Like, when I show him Death Grips, he's like, "Sounds like the RZA." It's like, it's like everybody sounds like somebody from Wu-Tang, you know? It's like, well, that's okay, because they're the best hip hop group of all time. Like, you know, we'll be all right. All time. NWA and Wu-Tang, they're on the same pedestal for me. But Tyler's a really, really cool character. And here's what I like about Tyler. He doesn't hold back, you know, like in the press, whatever his opinion is. He never holds back. And Eminem just came out with a few new singles. There's one with Beyonce, and there's another one. I don't remember what it's called because it's not worth mentioning. But Tyler, like, he said something about Eminem in a negative way on his Twitter. So that's why I love Tyler. Like, this shit's garbage.
Are his songs, are they honest? You said that Danny Brown, when he talks about the dark side of celebrity and notoriety and party lifestyle and touring, he seems to be really, really honest to the point where it makes your stomach hurt maybe sometimes.
That's a great question. Tyler was like that his last three albums before this. This is his fourth actual release. Like, he was more of a shock jock and coming at you with, you know, that kind of, ooh, what did he say? Or is that a real statement or not? Like, you don't really know. But with Flower Boy, I've never heard him rap like this. That's why it's really caught my attention. Like, he's coming from a very, very personal spot. And as far as the honesty factor goes between him and Danny Brown, like, this is on the same level as Danny Brown's material, especially last year's. But I would say that it's a hard thing to compare, you know, right. Apples and oranges. He has a song called Who That Boy on here. It was his first single. Danny Brown isn't on it, but A$AP Rocky is. And it's just a really, really good beat, a really good hook, really cool video. Like, the video is creepy as shit. He cut off his face and then he stitched a white dude's face to it. You know, like, Tyler's that kind of dude that pushes those racial and sexual boundaries, like, at all times, you know, and he doesn't care. He comes at you that way. I like that honesty part of his music. Like, with this album too, it's got a lot of recognition for him maybe coming out of the closet, you know, and I don't really know or do I care what his sexual preference is, but it keeps the listener intrigued and it keeps you in tune. Like, what is he trying to say? You know, and it's just like, it's a really good sales thing, especially for Tyler. Like, what is he trying to say? Is he this way or is he that way? Or is he a Republican or a Democrat? Like, it just keeps people talking, you know, because there's only one thing in life that's worse than being talked about. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, but you say it.
Not being talked about. That's Oscar Wilde. But, you know, I think he has that niche for controversy and he has that niche for, what does Tyler care? Does he like green or blue? Like, he's got it, you know? And I think he's a really good artist and everyone should check out his earlier stuff, but Flower Boy is like his most R&B 90s savvy type of music. And I really like the drum beats on this. Like, it sounds like it's in the background, a little bit crispy, a little bit thick, like slow tempo. Like, this album has like an R&B vibe to it, like a 90s R&B vibe. And when he sings on it, he sings the choruses, he does a great job. So I'm really happy that he calls out Eminem and his hot garbage that he's put out as of late. You know, he really calls him out on it. I don't know, in my opinion, if you're gonna sing a chorus, just be yourself and do it, and Tyler's doing that and Eminem's not. So
maybe he's doing Eminem a favor. When's the last time Eminem had a beef?
I don't
proper back and forth.
Yeah, but Eminem's on such a pedestal, like, Tyler, yeah, the Creator means nothing to him.
He still might do it. Fun.
It would be fun. It would be fun. But Tyler's a really, really cool character. This is a really good album. Everyone should check it out. Flower Boy. Like I said, Who That Boy? That's one of my faves. One of my faves. Garden Shed's pretty crazy. There's 14 tracks on this, and this is what makes a good album. Like, this is in probably my top five as far as putting the record on and letting it spin and not having to skip a track. There's only one song on here that I don't really care for. But besides that, I mean, you like 13 out of 14. I like those odds. You like those odds?
I like those odds.
Who cares about the track I don't like? But there's only one track out of here I don't like. It's one of the singles. It's called Ain't That Something, or, yeah, I Ain't Got Time. That's what it's called. That's the only track I do not like on this. And it's not bad, but like I said, 13 out of 14. Tyler, he brings it.
Yeah.
He brings it. Have you ever checked out any of his videos or anything? You know, anything?
No, you sent me something earlier and I just didn't have time. And I know I keep talking about my brother, but he's been on my brother's radar for years.
Yeah, boy.
And
yeah,
he listens to him. And that's how I know, because I've heard the name, because it's come out of his mouth. But I never consciously listened. I'm sure he played some of his songs and I just didn't. I was like, bleh.
When I first listened to this, I didn't know what to make of it. It took a couple of listens, but most albums do, like I've mentioned in other episodes before. And Kendrick's did, but this is better than Kendrick Lamar's album as an artist, in my opinion. I think Kendrick with Damn kind of found a comfort spot with maybe a little bit more of his commercial fame. And then you have Tyler just doing whatever he wants to do, being himself, and it's extremely colorful. And then his lyrical content is very controversial, you know, like in the past, and he's putting out these weird articles about his sexual preference and stuff. So, like I said, he's no stranger to drawing you in, and I think he's a really good artist. And to Odd Future, his record label, and then all of his cipher, his circle of artists, he has Frank Ocean on there, and he's on this album, and Earl Sweatshirt. And I love Earl Sweatshirt. Like
you've talked about Earl Sweatshirt.
Yeah.
I think it was the first and the second
episode. Was it?
You
okay. About Earl Sweatshirt. I love Earl Sweatshirt a lot. A lot. It was weird listening to Tyler in Odd Future, and then he would come on, but I didn't know who he was, but then after Time came on, like I listened to Earl Sweatshirt's first album and his single Chum, and Earl's a badass. Like he's a great producer. I haven't looked into the nerdy part of the producer, you know, the production of this album, A Flower Boy, but I'm sure Earl's on it, but everybody should check out Tyler, the Creator, but especially Flower Boy, and even more so if you're a fan of his. This is his best album so far, you know, like putting himself in a little pretty box and putting it on your doorstep, you're not going to get any better. So yeah, check out Flower Boy by Tyler. And now I'm going to talk about a band that I really love. I've loved them for a long, long, lonesome time. It's Glassjaw. They're from Long Island, New York. Strutton wasn't really familiar with them, so I sent him this album. He's never listened to him before, but I did send it to him, and I wanted to get his feedback. But let me get into a little bit of Glassjaw's history real quick if you're unfamiliar with them. Like I said, they're from Long Island. They've been around since the late 90s. The first time that I saw them live was in 2000. They opened up for the Deftones. I really didn't know how to take them. I saw them at the Riviera. It's when White Pony came out for Deftones, and Glassjaw opened, and Daryl was really flamboyant. They were really noisy, and I just didn't really I didn't really know how to take them. Then 2003 rolled around, 02-03, and they came out with Worship and Tribute, their second release, and that's when I was able to understand and digest Glassjaw, and I fell in love. Like, you know, one of those cult followings, like they say, with certain, you know, certain bands.
Yeah.
That's Glassjaw. So since then,
like Dave Matthews.
Sorry. No, go ahead. But Glassjaw isn't filling Wrigley Field, you know. That'll probably never happen.
I'm laughing because you have I feel that you have fantastic music taste. The wide spectrum of shit that you like to listen to, yeah, and know how to fully analyze is impressive.
Well, thank you.
I'm a huge Dave Matthews fan.
I like Dave.
I love Summertime. I love going to those concerts. I like it. So I
are you a Cubs fan? Are you a Cubs fan too?
You know what? I am a Cubs fan.
Oh, see, that goes hand in hand. Do you like Jimmy Buffett?
No. but I do. You remember how I told you about like my list of like live music stuff to listen to? I want to go to like a hardcore rock show. I also want to go to a Jimmy Buffett concert, mostly for the
tailgating.
Do you
own a pink polo or a salmon color polo?
I could probably find one at the store.
Khaki slacks?
That's not even the... I just feel like it would be a fun time. It would be an awesome tailgating time. I think the average age at a Jimmy Buffett concert is probably like really
45 and single,
really close to 60. And I just think it would be extremely fun. Like, you're getting flashed by like the average woman out there is like 55 to 60. You're getting flashed by 55, 60 year olds. It just seems fun. Just having a good time.
Well, man,
every drink's got a fucking umbrella in it.
You just sold me and the entire audience on Dave Matthews.
Oh, no, I'm talking about Jimmy Buffett. None of that stuff.
Oh, Jimmy Buffett, yeah. Well, I think I mentioned in the first episode how my parents destroyed my musical ears with Tom Petty and the Black Crowes.
Yeah.
Jimmy Buffett was that same year, The Cheeseburger in Paradise. I don't remember what year that came out, but my dad just had that on heavy rotation, and I've hated him ever since.
No.
So, you know, it's one of those things, but...
Right.
I do agree with you with Dave Matthews. I've never checked him out live, and I've never checked out Jimmy Buffett, but I wouldn't turn it down because I know it's a good time. But I am a White Sox fan, and I'll never wear a pink polo, and I'll never wear really, really short khaki shirts.
Me neither.
Or like a sweater that you tie.
I'd look like an asshole.
That you tie around your waist. Like those are those fans, but I'm putting things into a certain box,
right.
But
there's a lot of that too.
Just
at the Dave shows. Yeah, there's definitely that.
Just
that
a lot of frat boys.
A lot of that. And then there's also a lot of potheads and a lot of there's like a lot of young kids that just finished high school, and there's a lot of old timers, and like it's a wide swath of people.
But here we go back to what I was talking about.
Glass jaw.
Right. Dave Matthews Band at Wrigley, Glass jaw at Comiskey in a corner, like in a corner vestibule, like when you're walking up
that's
to the upper
way
deck.
To put it.
That's Glass
jaw.
That's
a really good way to put it.
And they're like an emotional corner, like, oh, my girlfriend just broke up with me. Oh, I hate my life. That's Glass jaw. The lyrical content with Glass jaw in their earlier stuff was very, very emotional and relationship type lyrics, you know, and then you could feel it with the music too. And Daryl Palumbo, the singer, he has a very whiny, nasally approach to the microphone, but when he harmonizes and he sings, he's one of a kind. Like I said, they opened for Deftones, and Chino Moreno from the Deftones has his own sound. Well, so does Daryl. And if you're a fan of The Used, you know, more of a commercial emo, screamo act, you'll like Glass jaw, and especially their earlier stuff. But Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About Silence was their first release. That came out in 1999-2000. Then Worship and Tribute came out 2002-2003. But Daryl Palumbo, the singer, has Crohn's disease and a bad version of it. So they signed to Warner Brothers Records with Worship and Tribute, and they went on a few tours. Unfortunately, they had to cancel. The record label didn't like that. So Glass jaw is infamous for having problems with record labels, with artistic disagreements, and unfortunately, health, you know. Daryl has a health problem, and he put it out there back in the day, like, hey, sorry I can't come, but I have Crohn's disease type shit, you know. So they've had some problems with the record labels that they signed to, and when you sign to a record label like that, it's like they, you know, there's a year, and this is what you're expected to put out. So I think they had to wait that out, and the first thing that they put out since then was 2010-2011, and it was called Coloring Book. Hold on, excuse me. Let me backtrack. What was it before Coloring? It was called Our Color Green. Okay, let me backtrack. So it was 2010, and then Glass jaw resurfaced, and they got their bass player back from Everything We Want to Know About Silence, their second album, and they got a new drummer called, his last name's Lang, from what I remember, and it was a really weird but cool approach on releasing music. It was called Our Color Green, and everything they did was a single. And the only way they released it was on a 7-inch vinyl. And the only way you can listen to it was by the Glass jaw, like, logo. Okay? Like, it's a J and a G together. Uh-huh. And that was the only way you can listen to it. And then the only way you could buy that was on their website. So they're very cynical in their approach to music and fandom. Right off the bat, they're letting you know. Now, all this was online, you know, you could check it out, but if you were a fan, you really had to fucking search for it. So I have
work.
Yeah, they put out 4 to 5 singles, and I have 2 of them on 7-inch, and I have the little 7-inch applicator that you put in there.
Right.
For those that don't remember that, and a little history lesson real quick, it used to look like a little yellow circle that you would have to put in your 45-inch record. And you'd put that in there so you could spin that 45, you know, which is basically a single. So,
right.
And what was neat about these is on the other side of that single, it was totally blank. So, like I said, Glass jaw is no stranger to being cynical and not caring necessarily about what the fans care about. So then Color Book came out, which was another EP. That was a few years after. So we're talking like 2012, 2011. I went to that show, and at the end of the show, they gave you the album, which was really, really cool, you know. Last year, I went to one of their shows. They were a special guest for Coheed and Cambria. So if you like Coheed and Cambria, you'll like Glass jaw. They lost Lang, the drummer, and they lost Miguel, the bass player. I didn't know this. They had 2 other dudes. But the set was short, and I didn't really care for how short the set was, but it was still a decent show. Fast forward to this year, and I didn't bring this up on the show, but I was running late. I was with a friend. They were the special guest for The Used. And they went on stage at the Aragon at 6:30. And by the time we got there, they were already off stage.
Ooh.
And I was really, really upset about that. And if you look back to episode 8, talking about Death Grips and how they kind of just don't care about the fans, or it's like that punk rock attitude, like Daryl Palumbo, the singer of Glass jaw, and Justin Beck, the guitarist of Glass jaw, they put that out there. You know, they don't, don't really care. I don't know if it's so much that they don't care, but they have their lives too. And Justin Beck, the guitarist, he was the first one to ever start a website that sold band merchandise. It's called Merch Direct. So if you've ever bought a band t-shirt, probably since 2000, it's on Merch Direct. A lot of, you know, badass bands are on Merch Direct. So he has that business, you know. Then Daryl, the singer, he's been in a couple successful commercial poppy groups like Head Automatica. So you could tell both these dudes have glass jaws how they started. Now here's our business and our hobby together. So I get it. You know, being an adult now, I get it. I get it. But I was upset with how early they came on stage this year. And by the time I got there, they weren't there. So I was butthurt. I was butthurt with glass jaw. And I sent text to some friends, you know, like, man, what's up with them? Like, you know, they only played 11 songs in Chicago, and I was pissed about it. I was pissed. I was like, I might break up with them. I might break up with Glassjaw. But here we go. Let me get into this. It's called Material Control. Material Control is their first actual release since Worship and Tribute in 15 years. Thank you, Glassjaw, for this. It took a few lessons. All right. Little history on this album. Justin Beck, like I said, he owns Merch Direct. He's their guitarist. He plays bass on this album and guitar, but the bass on this album is the main instrument, and that's really, really cool. Like, I'm a bass player. This is the kind of music that's going on in my head all the time. These are the kind of bass lines that are going in my head all the time, and especially the sound. I'm so pissed, you know, like, I wanted to put this kind of shit out. Like, this is what I, you know, as a bass player and as a musician, I'd really like to put out. In the particular, like, the sound of the bass, the distortion, the overdrive, and the thickness. Like, whoever produced this, I don't remember the guy's name, but goddamn, did he do a great job. Because it took a few listens. I'm like, man, the bass is loud. Like, why is that the forefront instrument of this? Like, I don't know what's going on. And then I read a few interviews with Beck and Daryl, and they were talking about, like, yeah, we like a lot of old, you know, hardcore punk stuff that we grew up on. And, you know, there were some albums that really moved us where the distorted bass was the front instrument. And we wanted to do that. And Beck, being a guitarist, was like, you know, all right, you know, like, yeah, I'm going to do that. And they couldn't find a bass player for this. So, you know, he's tearing it up on bass. Shira is one of my favorite singles on here. The bass drops on that, like, it's just amazing. And then it's called The Great White Extremity was the first single released from this, but that came out on SoundCloud about a year and a half ago. The bass is super thick, super tight. And I'm just really, really impressed with the bass on this. Like, it's just so distorted, but it's, I don't know, soothing. What do you think about this album? Like, after one listen musically, not lyrically, like, or the vocals, what'd you think?
I enjoyed it. I need to listen more. I need to listen more to give a proper response. Like, everything I hear, it's good. You know, the last thing I listened to was
Tyler?
No, from a couple weeks ago, the crazy band.
Converge?
Was it? No, it wasn't Converge. I'm blanking out.
What, Handsome Prick?
No, I liked Handsome Prick too. I've been listening to them since last week. I've actually had multiple listens of Handsome Prick. Good. Something about it, it tickles me, like, in a good way. I really enjoy it.
It tickles his fancy.
I'm like enjoying the shit out of it.
Good.
The single that Wallace talked about, I didn't realize until last week, until I added it to the show when I was editing it, that it was only a minute long.
Yeah, we're keeping it grind.
But back to Glassjaw, I can't answer you.
Okay.
I need more time.
Okay.
I need to listen to it a bunch more times to give you a proper response.
Right. I like how you brought up Converge, because Glassjaw and Converge were like the same band really in the late 90s and 2000s as far as like notoriety, fan base and whatnot. And Converge found their lane and they've kicked ass and they've stayed together.
I have listened to the Converge album two or three times already.
Okay.
So I have listened to that.
Good.
I don't have the vocabulary you have. So it's tough for me to answer you.
Okay.
I did enjoy Converge. I did. I liked it initially. Then
the
I listened
dusk
to it
in
again.
Us. Yeah.
It was sinking its teeth into me every time I listened to it again, I enjoyed it more.
good.
So
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Because it's great. It's a great album. Converge and Glassjaw, like on the same pedestal, back to Converge paving their own way and staying in their lane and kicking ass and then just getting better year after year. And now, you know, being able to talk about The Dusk in Us, you know, by them. And then in comparison, Glassjaw was on the same starting line, but they weren't able to take off as much as Converge in a sense of commercial and musical notoriety. But sometimes that's a good thing. And I think that Material Control, actually, I know that Material Control by Glassjaw is a proven example of that, because Justin Beck and Daryl Palumbo, the two main founders of Glassjaw, you know, guitarist and singer, they did their own thing. And I respect that. And they weren't bullied by the record labels to do this or do that. Like, unfortunately for them, they had a poppy sound that got them that notoriety for like a Warner Brothers to sign them. And then they had to choke on their own ink from that signing, where a group like Converge, they had their own record label from day one. Like I said, Death Wish Incorporated, that's Converge's record label, which is Jacob Bannon, the singer from Converge's record label. Like, they're the new Discord Records do-it-yourself type of approach, like you're doing here at Green Door. And once you do that and you establish yourself and build your own foundation, nobody can knock you off. So back to Glassjaw, I think they bit that poisonous apple. But when the record label tried to corner them and tell them what to do, or you need to do this or tour that much, they said, nah, we're not going to do it. And fast forwarding to this album now, in comparison to Converge, like Converge has put out the same amount of, not the same amount, but the same sounding type of music for this long, and they get better with everyone. But what I'm getting at is, it's okay for Glassjaw to take a 15-year break and then coming out with something like this, because you can tell it's a passionate thing that Justin Beck and Daryl Palumbo wanted to put out. And the guy that's drumming on this is Dillinger Escape Plan's drummer, and he's kicking ass. So I'm a big, big fan of this album. It's on my top 10 for sure, for sure. So, you know, like I said, there's a comparison there. They're a post-melodic hardcore band, and with Material Control, I don't even really know what to call this. In comparison to their past projects with Daryl, the vocalist, man, is he harmonizing on this. Like, his other stuff was a little shrieky and a little nasally and high pitch and emotional and just, ugh. But I still loved them because I could tell the anger that he was trying to express, and then his lyrics were great. But on this shit, man, is he harmonizing. Like, he is taking his time. Like you said, you gave it, the first time I sent you a link, you're like, it sounds like dude from Jane's Addiction.
Yeah.
I never heard that comparison before. And then someone else that I was talking to about this, or maybe I read it somewhere online, they brought up the same thing. Like, he has a very unique style of singing, and, you know, musically, especially guitars. Let me get into the guitars of this real quick. Beck's playing the bass, but he is playing the guitars. The guitars of Glassjaw have always been somewhat of a soundscape, like a background, but even more so with this. Like, the drum and the bass really grab you, and it's a really cool rhythm, like a rhythmic moment. And it just has like these touches of old school hardcore that I really like old Strife and Vision of Disorder and little Earth Crisis moments, and just some like Judge, you know, like some old school Judge from New York. Like, they're really bringing it with the drum and the bass. And then it's really cool that Beck is able to do these crazy guitar soundscapes over it, just like some noisy, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's cool when a guitarist uses the guitar as like a soundscape instead of a lead instrument.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going on here. The lead instrument's the bass, and then it's the drums, and then it's the guitar, and then it's the vocals. You know, like, my only beef with this album is maybe the vocals could have been a little bit louder, but they're not, and that's okay. Like I said, this album took a few listens, so I love Glassjaw, and I was really butthurt with them. It wasn't that long ago, remember? I was like, I wanted to talk about it on one of my episodes, but I'm like, I want to keep it positive.
Yeah,
I was like,
yeah,
really, really pissed off. And then here they come. I'm like, I'm waiting. Everybody's talking about their top 10 for the end of the year. I'm like, there's going to be something else. There's going to be something else that comes out. And fucking Glassjaw comes out and drops Material Control, and it's really good. I'm feeling it, you know? Because you could tell there's no gray area. It is what it is. They have like a really cool approach to music that a lot of people can't tap into. And I'm really happy with the vocals, because Daryl was that kind of dude, like, hey, man, check out Glassjaw. You like it? Like, God, like, I don't know about that singer, you know, blah, blah, blah. But with this, it's just, they're just getting.
Do you think that 15-year break and him, maybe he analyzed his vocal delivery. Maybe they analyzed all these different things, and it was a good thing, the 15-year break.
The 15-year break, like I said, I don't know
that
if
it's
I...
a long time.
It's a long time, but there were things in between, and they were great. Like I said,
okay,
Coloring Book came out 5 years ago,
right.
7 years ago. Or something. Yeah, it was about 5 years ago, and then Our Color Green. So they put out about five or six singles, and they released them on their website, but you can get that on Spotify. And then they put Coloring Book out, and that's what they gave us at the end of their show. So basically, they've put out two EPs before this actual release. And Coloring Book, it was free. I'll remember this. I'll put it on my playlist for this episode, but Coloring Book was, I mean, I could talk about that for another hour. That was a great, great EP and a great album. And when they played it live, it was, I think Glassjaw at their best, especially live, and I'm glad I was a part of it, was during, I think his first name was like Dariah Lang or something. He's got a funky first name, the drummer, and then Miguel came back. Like, that was Glassjaw at their best, and that was that space between, we'll just say 2005 until now. You know, they had a 10-year gap where they were still touring and they put out two EPs, but Coloring Book is my favorite stuff by them still.
Like, so was that vocal change gradual, or is there a big difference between how
it was? Gradual. It was gradual. Yeah, I mean, everything you ever wanted to know about Silence, their first album, was just in your face. Then you had Worship and Tribute, where he was kind of calming down a little bit vocally, but great melodies. Then there were the singles, like I said, Our Color Green. That was very spastic and very screamy. And then Coloring Book, like I'm talking about, that they released just by themselves. They gave us the album when we left the Metro at Chicago. Melody was happening there. And really, really cool drum and bass play. Like, I love that album. If I could get that on vinyl somewhere, I might kill a man. I might kill a man for that. But to Material Control being a full length, and it's just Justin Beck, the guitarist, and then Daryl, the singer, you can tell, like, this is what they wanted to put out. This is what they put out. And kudos and congratulations to them. Like, it's a great, great album. And I'm very, very thankful. Like I said, I was upset with going there, and they only played for 45 minutes, and I missed them, you know, at the Aragon. I didn't like that. They didn't sit very well with me. But now, knowing what I know now, like, that drummer and that bass player, they're both from a group called Glass Cloud. Not Glassjaw, but Glass Cloud. They're awesome, but they are sit-in guys, you know? So I get that as a musician, you know? Like, you might be trying to push a couple new songs and still trying to be relevant in, like, a screamo emo type of crowd, like the U's. So we're bringing these dudes on. Here's our set. It's 10 to 11 songs long, but don't get butthurt like Joe did. But at any rate, I love Glassjaw. Everyone should check them out if you haven't already. If you like the U's and you like emotional hardcore and post-hardcore, it's a good place to start. So check them out. If you love the Deftones, check out Glassjaw. I'm just really, really happy with that album. It's in my top 10. And back to Tyler, the Creator, like, what an awesome artistic album, you know, being an artist, putting yourself out there. His flows are still just killing it, you know. He's really good, and it's my hip-hop album of the year. It is. It's better than Kendrick's. It's better than Jay-Z, I don't even know how to listen to Jay-Z's album. Like, he has his own streaming service, so whatever, Jay-Z. Whatever, dude. Your last good album was Reasonable Doubt anyway. You know, like, his first thing I was listening to in middle school. I don't know what he's up to, but I know that, like, he's up there for the Grammys and shit. And, you know, so the next episode, we are going to have a guest. I'm not going to say his name right now, so just chomp at the bit for that. But I do want to go through my honorable mentions of the year that I haven't talked about so far with each episode of albums you should go back and subscribe to and check out. So I'll come back with that. But, man, what a good night.
Real good night.
Really good night. So, everybody, stay musically meditated, and I'll see you next week. Deuces. I'm musically meditated.
That's right.
I'm musically meditated. That's right. I'm musically meditated.